Chapter 3. Fear of Music. Musicogenic Epilepsy. In 1937, MacDonald Critchley, a superb observer of unusual neurological syndromes, described 11 patients he had seen with epileptic seizures induced by music, as well as extending his survey to cases reported by others. He entitled his pioneer article, Musicogenic Epilepsy, though he indicated that he preferred the shorter and sweeter term, musicolepsia. Some of Critchley's patients were musical, some were not. The type of music that could provoke their seizures varied a good deal from patient to patient. One specified classical music, another old-time or reminiscent melodies, while a third patient found that a well-punctuated rhythm was for her the most dangerous feature in music. One of my own correspondents had seizures only in response to modern dissonant music, never in response to classical or romantic music. Her husband, unfortunately, was partial to modern dissonant music. Critchley observed how some patients responded only to particular instruments or noises. One such patient reacted only to deep notes from a brass wind instrument. This man was a radio operator on a large ocean liner, but, continually convulsed by the sounds of its orchestra, had to transfer to a smaller ship with no orchestra. Some patients responded only to particular melodies or songs. The most striking case of all was that of an eminent 19th-century music critic, Nikonoff, who had his first seizure at a performance of Meyerbeer's opera The Prophet. Thereafter, he became more and more sensitive to music, until finally almost any music, however soft, would send him into convulsions. The most noxious of all, remarked Critchley, was the so-called musical background of Wagner, which afforded an unrelieved and inescapable sound procession. Finally, Nikonoff, though so knowledgeable and passionate about music, had to relinquish his profession and avoid all contact with music. If he heard a brass band in the street, he would stop his ears and rush for the nearest doorway or side street. He developed a veritable phobia, a horror of music, and this he described in a pamphlet he titled Fear of Music. Critchley had also published papers a few years earlier on seizures induced by non-musical sounds, usually sounds of a monotonous type, such as a kettle on the boil, an airplane in flight, or machinery in a workshop. In some cases of musicogenic epilepsy, he thought, the particular quality of sound was all important, as with the radio operator who could not tolerate the deep brass. But in others, the emotional impact of the music, and perhaps its associations, seemed more important. The types of seizure that might be provoked by music were quite varied too. Some patients would have major convulsions, fall down unconscious, bite their tongues, be incontinent. Others would have minor seizures, brief absences their friends might hardly notice. Many patients would have a complex temporal lobe type of seizure, as did one of Critchley's patients, who said, I have the feeling that I have been through it all before, as if I were going through a scene. It is the same on each occasion. People are there, dancing. I believe I am on a boat. The scene is not connected with any real place or event which I can recall. Musicogenic epilepsy is generally considered to be very rare, but Critchley wondered if it might be notably more common than supposed. Many people, he thought, might start to get a queer feeling, disturbing, perhaps frightening, when they heard certain music, but then would immediately retreat from the music, turn it off or block their ears, so that they did not progress to a full-blown seizure. He wondered, therefore, if abortive forms, formes frustes, of musical epilepsy might be relatively common. This has certainly been my own impression, and I think there may also be similar formes frustes of photic epilepsy, when blinking lights or fluorescent lights may produce a peculiar discomfort without inducing a full-blown seizure. Working in an epilepsy clinic, I have seen a number of patients with seizures induced by music, and others who have musical auras associated with seizures, and occasionally both. Both types of patient are prone to temporal lobe seizures, and most have temporal lobe abnormalities identifiable with EEG or brain imaging. Among the patients I have seen recently is G.G., a young man who was in good health until June of 2005, when he had a severe attack of herpes encephalitis that started with a high fever and generalized seizures. This was followed by a coma and then a severe amnesia. Remarkably, a year later, his amnesic problems had virtually cleared, but he remained highly seizure-prone, with occasional grand mal seizures and, much more commonly, complex partial seizures. Initially, all of these were spontaneous, but within a few weeks they started to occur almost exclusively in response to sound, sudden loud sounds like ambulance sirens, and, especially, music. Along with this, G.G. developed a remarkable sensitivity to sound, becoming able to detect sounds too soft or distant for others to hear. He enjoyed this and felt that his auditory world was more alive, more vivid, but wondered, too, whether it played any part in his now epileptic sensitivity to music and sound.